Thank you for joining us on EZ's Community Focus, a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. After breaking ground in August 2014, it's taken less than 2 years for Miami-Dade County's new Pet Adoption and Protection Center to be completed, now open to the public as of June 13th. So to tell us about... I love hearing the dogs in the background. To tell us about the benefits of the first new pet shelter in Miami-Dade County in 40 years and their mission and goals for pets and pet owners, I'm very happy to welcome the Chief of Operations and Enforcement at Miami-Dade Animal Services, Kathy Labrada. Kathy, thanks for finding time to talk to us.
Thanks for having me, Ellen.
Things must be very busy there. You're only open just barely 2 weeks now.
Just a few days now. It has been a very exciting time for us. Our new home at 3599 Northwest 79th Avenue is an absolutely beautiful facility, which will allow us to house our shelter pets in comfort until they find their forever homes.
I've seen the pictures on your Facebook page and on the website, and it looks like this giant mall. What was the thinking in doing it that way?
The shelter was actually designed exactly with that feel in mind. We wanted it to be very user-friendly, feel very welcoming, and have a very mall-like experience. And that's exactly what you feel when you're walking in. It's a very open floor plan, and there are animals on display in front of each adoption pod. It's a fun and very interactive place to come and visit the shelter pets and hopefully select one to take home.
I hope so. You guys have an amazing save rate with animals. I know the goal is to get to 100% saving, but the statistics on your improvement from a few years ago to when you said this is our goal, I believe you're at 90%.
We are at a 90% save rate. This is a phenomenal achievement for any open admission animal shelter. For animal services to have achieved this working out of our antiquated facility in Medley is really phenomenal. And there were a number of programs that contributed to us reaching that 90% save rate. We have wonderful volunteer programs, foster programs, neonate kitten programs, off-site adoptions, just dozens and dozens of programs that help get animals out into the community, raise community interest, and encourage folks to adopt, not shop.
When you bring the animals out into the community and people who may not have had a pet before are walking by, what kind of reactions do you see?
We have fantastic reactions for our off-site adoption events. We have something we call the Hope Express. It's the acronym is Helping Our Pets Every Day. It's a large mobile air-conditioned adoption vehicle. So some folks that perhaps wouldn't generally visit an animal shelter, maybe don't feel comfortable doing that or are too overwhelmed to actually come to one, have the opportunity to visit our Hope Express at various locations throughout the county. It goes out several times a week to different malls, county parks, shopping centers, just all over the county. So there's a great opportunity really daily to either come into the shelter or visit one of our off-site locations to find that perfect pet.
Is there a schedule where someone can find out where the Hope Express is going to be on a particular day?
Absolutely. The schedule for the Hope Express can be found on our website, which is animals.miamidade.gov.
Okay. Now, what are the requirements now for adoption?
The requirements for someone to come in and adopt a cat or a dog, they're actually quite simple. You simply need to be 18 years of age and provide photo identification. We do check to ensure that the individual adopting dogs isn't currently housing in excess of the permitted number of dogs. In Miami-Dade County, that's 4, 6, or 8 dogs, depending on the size of the property. So as long as you haven't exceeded the number of dogs that you are legally permitted to own, you're welcome to adopt.
And now, is there a limit on cats as well?
There is no limit on cats. Cats are considered free roaming. We certainly do encourage cat owners to keep their pets indoors. It's certainly much safer. You don't have the traffic hazards or hazards related to other animals getting to them. We do encourage folks to keep their cats indoors, but there is no restriction on the number of cats that an individual can own.
Okay. I saw a statistic, and maybe you can tell me if this is correct or not, that 2 cats, 1 male and 1 female cat that are not spayed or neutered, between the number of litters they have and the litters that then their offspring have, it can turn into over 400,000 cats in 7 years.
This is true. This is true, and spaying and neutering is one of the most important things that we as a community can do. So anyone who owns a dog or cat, it's extremely important that they have their pets spayed or neutered, not just for the animal's health, but to address that overpopulation issue and the issue with so many unwanted pets coming into shelters every year. Animal Services actually offers free TNR. TNR is trap, neuter, return for community cats. So practically every neighborhood in the county, I think, has cats. They're not necessarily feral, just outdoor cats that are somewhat socialized, but no one really takes responsibility for. You may have different people that put down food for them, but they wouldn't claim them as their own.
Right.
So what the department offers, 7 days a week, individuals can bring these cats in. They'll be vaccinated against rabies, vaccinated against common feline disease, dewormed, sterilized, and ear-tipped free of charge.
Wow.
And we even offer, yeah, it's a fantastic program, and we'll even offer delivery back to the area from which the cat was picked up from.
Oh, my gosh.
So you do have the option of dropping off at the shelter and picking up, or dropping off at the shelter and having us go ahead and return that pet to the area that it was brought in from.
Now, to get the trap from you for free, we have to come to the shelter and pick up the trap?
Well, traps, that trapping is a little bit different.
Okay.
If a trap is required to capture the cats, there is a $50 completely refundable deposit, and that can be obtained from the shelter. For cats that don't, a lot of these community cats, they aren't feral. They're not wild cats. They're just outdoor, free-roaming, happy neighborhood cats
right.
that can actually be picked up pretty easily and placed in a carrier.
Okay.
But if it is a type of cat that you wouldn't be able to handle or safely place into a carrier, then you can certainly come in and rent a trap. And again, it's a $50 deposit, completely refundable upon return of the trap.
And can you provide some guidance on the best way to go about, when you're dealing with a feral cat, how to get them to come to the trap? What do you do?
Absolutely. If you are one of the individuals that feeds these outdoor free-roaming cats, the best thing to do is withhold food for a day or so, and that way the cat will be hungry, where they ordinarily might be a little apprehensive about entering a trap. If you've withheld food from the day before, they'll be more likely to enter the trap after that meal, and then the trap closes behind the cat. It's safely contained, and that can be brought in 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. for that TNR surgery.
Okay. And now with the spaying and the neutering, you know, we talk about these incredible numbers. What are the dangers to the community of having 400,000 cats roaming wild, or if dogs were not brought in and adopted and spayed or neutered? I mean, what happens in a place where the animals just are taking over?
Well, when animals are allowed to reproduce freely with absolutely no controls, it becomes an overwhelming problem, and you'll see more sickness in the community. You'll see more animals hit by cars or victims of cruelty, people that just get fed up with so many animals being in their neighborhoods and on their streets. And the way that we can be responsible and address that is through spay-neuter. So with the free TNR program, that helps address these community free-roaming cats. And for individuals that own pets, any size dog can be sterilized for $30. It's an absolute bargain. And if it's an owned cat that you have that's in need of sterilization, it's $15.
Wow.
So okay. It is extremely extremely affordable, and there are no income qualifications. This is something that's available to every resident of the county.
Okay. And now there are also, you mentioned very briefly before, there are actual medical benefits to the animal as well.
There absolutely are. There is scientific evidence to support that early spaying and neutering reduces the likelihood of animals developing cancers. And we know that pets are part of someone's family. We treat them as if they're our children. And to know that there's something that you can do to ensure their health and prevent them from this awful disease, it's just a responsible thing to do. And again, you're helping by not contributing to overpopulation. It really is the best thing that you can do for a pet.
Yeah. In addition to that, just adopting a pet as opposed to shopping, as you mentioned earlier, there has been such a huge improvement in Miami-Dade County with shutting down puppy mills. Can you explain the difference between the animals in the puppy mills and those where, someone has a fine animal that they want to breed?
Absolutely. Puppy mills are horrific. They are regulated by the USDA, but the difficulty with puppy mills is the standards in which those animals can be kept and housed lawfully are not humane, regardless of whether they're inspected and pass inspection or not. The truth behind puppy mills is that these animals are caged and forced to reproduce over and over and over until they're no longer of breeding age. It's not a life for any animal. Animals weren't intended to be locked in pens and forced to reproduce for the purpose of puppies. We have more puppies than we know what to do with. And the great thing about a shelter is you never know what you're going to find. We have as many purebred animals coming in. We have Maltese and Yorkies, German Shepherds, American Bulldogs, Rottweilers, Dobermans, dozens of purebred animals that, unfortunately, due to irresponsible pet ownership or just folks that allow their dogs to roam, have had that opportunity to reproduce, and those puppies have entered the shelter. So the first place when looking for a pet, regardless of breed, would definitely be a shelter. And when you're adopting, you're saving a life.
Yeah.
And you know, alternatively, when you're buying from a pet store, you're actually keeping puppy mills in business.
Yeah.
And we certainly recognize that some individuals do want a purebred animal, perhaps show quality. And we do have registered hobby breeders that are dedicated to improving the breed, that have different standards of care for these pets. And we would highly recommend going to a hobby breeder or coming to a shelter rather than purchasing from a pet store.
Well, you have been at Miami-Dade Animal Services. You've been called a leader in best animal practices. And with the new Pet Adoption and Protection Center, the experience for the animals who are at the shelter is phenomenal. Tell us about the space that they now have to play in and what their living conditions are there.
The living conditions here in the new shelter in Doral are phenomenal. It is entirely under air. It is the largest air-conditioned animal control facility in the country. And this is a huge step up for us. In the Medley facility, there were a lot of areas of the shelter that weren't under air, that were extremely hot in the summer months and rather uncomfortable. So the animals are housed in comfort. The kennels are primarily glass. They have music piped in. It's very relaxing. It's a completely different experience. I think that the best thing that someone could do, whether they visited the previous shelter or not, is come here and see how wonderful this is. And as comfortable as we've made it, we don't want people to think that the animals are happy and completely comfortable. They'd be much happier in somebody's home. But
yeah,
during that interim period, while we're trying to find them a home, this really is a great place to be. There are indoor areas for the cats to play. There's a catwalk. It's very interactive, where the cats have a vertical feature that they can climb and play and frolic in. It's absolutely amazing. And we also have dog playgroup yards. So they're little fenced-in areas where volunteers and staff can take dogs out in groups to exercise and to interact with each other.
I love it. And this is at 3599 Northwest 79th Avenue in Doral. Why the name Pet Adoption and Protection Center?
These are our core missions. Pet adoption, we have 30,000 animals coming in every year, and our goal is to get every one of those into a loving home. So pet adoption is kind of a no-brainer. It makes sense. That's what we're trying to do. And at the same time, we're providing a place of refuge and a place of protection for victims of cruelty, strays that were found in the street. These are our core missions at heart, is pet adoption and pet protection.
How do you work with animals that are brought in or are found that have been victims of cruelty to help them overcome fear of humans?
That's a very good question. We are in the process of hiring an animal behaviorist to help us deal with these special cases for animals that need a little more individual one-on-one attention than, say, an animal that hadn't been a victim of cruelty or neglect. Mm. And we also have a very active, humane law enforcement unit that actively pursues animal cruelty and a great relationship with our state attorney's office in prosecuting these cases.
Yay, good. Okay. Once again, we're speaking with Kathy Labrada, who is the Chief of Operations and Enforcement at Miami-Dade Animal Services, celebrating the opening of their brand new Pet Adoption and Protection Center in Doral, with huge facilities under air conditioning, this mall-like layout. And what's really cool, as you mentioned earlier, people don't just have to go to the shelter to see animals. You bring them out on the road. Do you still do the annual event at Tropical Park?
We do, the mega pet adoption event.
Uh-huh.
It's a phenomenally successful 24-hour adoption event. We've had tremendous success in finding hundreds of homes for our shelter pets through this. That's something that we will continue, absolutely.
Is there a date set for this year yet?
I don't believe there is a date set for this year.
Okay, we'll stay on top of it. Okay. Meanwhile, one of the other things that you do is you've set up services for lost and found pets to reconnect pets with their owners and owners with their pets. And you have something called the Finding Rover mobile app. How does that work?
The Finding Rover app is absolutely amazing. It's available on Apple and Android, and it's a facial recognition app. So anyone with a pet can take a photograph of their pet, upload that into the app, and if that animal is found by a Good Samaritan, just found wandering the streets, or picked up by an animal control officer, if the person finding the pet will photograph, our animal control officers always do, they photograph, a match can be made based on the photograph that the owner had uploaded. So then a contact would go out to the owner advising them that their pet has been found. So it's absolutely fantastic. Every animal coming into the shelter is photographed and filtered through Finding Rover. We've actually had several matches where we've been able to reunite a pet with its owner thanks to the app.
I love it. And now when you put that in conjunction with the chip services, that's got to create a really high rate of relocation and restoring them together.
Absolutely. Microchipping is fantastic. It is permanent lifetime identification for a pet. We do offer it here at Animal Services for $15, and it is really a guaranteed ticket for your pet home. It's phenomenal. We have our animal control officers carry the microchip scanners in their vehicles, and they'll scan every animal picked up. If we do identify a chip, we'll go ahead and obtain that owner information and give the pet a ride home. We want the pets at home with their parents. We don't want them here in the shelter.
Right.
Microchipping is extremely important.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about safety for pets and, you know, with a reminder that you bring home this adorable creature that they need to be cared for, as you said, the same as a child. And we have different issues in South Florida that come up. For example, in the summer, it's very hot. And, you know, people may take their pet for a ride in the car, think, I'm just running in for a minute to go and buy something. And next thing you know, the car is 200 degrees inside. What are the guidelines on that?
It is unlawful to leave a pet unattended in a vehicle without the engine running, the air conditioning on. Even if you're parked in the shade, a vehicle can reach in excess of 160 degrees in very short time. It's never safe to leave a pet in a vehicle unattended, during any time of the year. Even when it's 78 degrees outside, it can quickly reach 160 degrees or more inside a vehicle. There was a law recently passed which allows individuals to actually break the window of a vehicle if they do see a pet in distress. They are required to remain on scene and contact police. Our recommendation will be contact police first, but it is something that's so serious that a state law was actually passed to address that.
Okay. And what about pets and fireworks with 4th of July coming up?
Yes, with 4th of July coming up, it's extremely important for pet owners to take the necessary steps to protect their pets. Typically, we'll see an increase in intake, in dog intake in particular, following the 4th of July. And this is because, although we enjoy the firework displays, pets not so much. It's a lot of noise, a lot of activity. It can be very frightening, and dogs can quickly become disoriented and run off and not be able to find their way back home. So I would say probably the most important thing for Independence Day safety would be to ensure that your pets are either microchipped or wearing an ID tag with your name and current contact information. Microchipping, again, is an ideal thing to do. That's your permanent identification. And also, never to use fireworks around pets. We do see an increase in the number of pets with burns or trauma to their face or paws. Just really important to keep them safe, the same as you would a child.
And what about people who are going to the big fireworks events at the beach or the park, and they say, oh, I'm going to bring my dog with me? Is it as frightening when you're in an environment where it's a little bit of a ways off, but there's huge explosions?
No, it's terribly frightening for pets. Really, the best thing to do is go out and enjoy the festivities with your family, but leave your pets at home in a safe, quiet area where they'll feel more secure and won't be at risk of escaping.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, my cats hide under the bed just in a regular afternoon thunderstorm down here, so the fireworks have to be even worse than that.
Absolutely.
What about, you know, with hurricane season, if someone has to evacuate, what do they need to do to be prepared to be able to take their pet with them if they're going, you know, to a shelter? And what kind of supplies do they need to have on hand?
A pet's disaster kit for hurricane preparedness is one of the most important things for a pet owner to think about. Definitely a two-week supply of the food that the dog is accustomed to. If you end up in a facility or just moving elsewhere and not having the diet that the animal is accustomed to, it can cause distress and medical issues. So definitely 2 weeks supply of food. If you do feed a canned food that doesn't have a pull-top lid, the manual can opener is very important. A crate to contain the animal, and again, the collar and tag and or microchip to ensure that if the pet does escape, that the information is there that would allow us to get that pet restored. Always good to have a first aid kit, you know, with medical records and just some bandaging materials, scissors, gauze, that type of thing, in the event there isn't a veterinarian readily available following a disaster.
Okay, and while we're on the issue of safety with pets, we know that we want to get the animals spayed and neutered, and if they're feral cats, you've got the trap, the free trap and return program. What if you happen to come across a, you know, you hear the little meow, 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 and there's a litter of newborns?
This is something that we encounter frequently. It is neonate season, so we are seeing an increase in the number of newborn kittens. The most important thing that someone can do when coming across these newborn litters of kittens is actually leave them alone. Initially, we ask that they be left for 12 to 24 hours. Cats and dogs will leave their litters for brief periods of time to obtain food and water for themselves so that they can nourish their babies. If it's a situation where the mother hasn't returned within 12 hours or so, then we would certainly respond. The individual would just need to call 311 and let us know, and we would send an officer out to go ahead and pick them up. We also offer neonate care kits, which our animal control officers will deliver. So if you found a litter of kittens and mom hasn't returned, their chances of survival in the shelter are not good. And that's because they do require round-the-clock care. They need to be fed every 2 hours. They require a heating source. It's very labor-intensive. So we have kits that have the kitten milk replacer, bottles, a warming pad, everything that you would need to foster these neonates until they're old enough to enter into the shelter population when they're eating on their own. And we provide all medical care for them as well. So if that's something that anyone would be interested in, when calling 311, if they just mention that they are interested in fostering the litter, we would certainly be more than happy to deliver those care kits. It takes a community. It really does.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, actually, I'm thinking about, you must need an awful lot of people to do all of this. You do so much personalized work. How are you doing it?
We have an amazing volunteer and foster program, and we welcome our community to come to the shelter and take part in this incredible life-saving work, and we couldn't do it without them. There's never enough that we can do to provide for the animals that we're charged with caring for. So the more volunteers and fosters we have, the better we are and the better able we are to care for the animals in the shelter. The foster orientations are held every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. and the second and fourth Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. So if you're interested in fostering a dog or cat, it could be a medical foster where the animal just needs some ongoing care, or a short-term foster if there's an event coming up in a week and we just need a foster for that, or maybe a pet that needs a little more time before they're ready for adoption, just a little more time in a home to become more accustomed to people. Fostering is extremely rewarding and can be very short term. Sometimes it's hard to say goodbye,
yeah.
But we love our failed fosters too.
Now, what about for taking the dogs out to exercise and play with them? Do you use volunteers for that, or is it employees?
We use both. Our employees and our volunteers participate in our dog walking and playgroup activities. For volunteers, we have orientations every Saturday at 10 a.m. and the first and third Thursday at 5 p.m. So volunteering, I think, is one of the most rewarding things that anyone can do to help shelter pets. It really is a lot of fun. We have a grooming room here. Our volunteers can come in and bathe and blow dry and just pretty up some of the dogs that come in neglected or matted or dirty. It's extremely rewarding.
Oh, the transformation pictures, the before and afters when you've got a dog that's been on the street for a little while and it looks so sad. And then it's been cared for a little bit, and you've got them all cleaned up. It's, you know, the love that we feel for them, you know they feel it back. It's
absolutely. And a lot of times it's the first kind touch that animal has had in months or maybe in its lifetime. And there just aren't words to express how rewarding and how valuable that is.
Can't even imagine. Do you have people who can help match an individual with the right kind of pet for them?
Absolutely. We have adoption counselors, and they'll ask a few basic questions, whether you're in an apartment or a house, if you're a runner, how much time you have to spend at home. And based on those responses, we're able to match the breed type that would be most suitable for your lifestyle. So our adoption counselors are available 7 days a week to assist with adoptions. Folks can just come in and walk through the adoption mall and engage with our adoption counselors, and hopefully we make a match and you take a new pet home.
And can you provide guidance? You have pet training classes. Can you also provide guidance on, let's say you're adopting a second or a third pet for your home and you need to get dogs working with dogs or introduce a dog to a cat? Can you help people with that?
Absolutely. There are some tips on the website, animals.miamidade.gov, on introducing a new pet and the importance of keeping them segregated initially and making those introductions. All that information is available on the website.
Okay. Is there anything else? We have just a minute or so left that you want people to know about the new Pet Adoption and Protection Center for Miami-Dade Animal Services in Doral?
I think anyone that has expressed concerns in the past about coming to a shelter or how depressing a shelter is, I would encourage them to come and visit. This is an amazing facility, and we have amazing pets in need of homes. It's actually a great time to visit. We have a pre-4th of July weekend adoption discount. It's a 50% discount on adoption fees for dogs over 4 months of age and for all cats. And that'll be available July 2nd and Sunday, July 3rd.
And all the animals come already spayed, neutered, chipped, all of that, right?
Absolutely. Spayed and neutered, microchipped, current vaccinations. All they need is a home.
I love it. And I do want to mention briefly that because you have this new expanded location, you also have the availability to do more spaying and neutering. You have what now? Expanded surgical suites.
Absolutely. With our expanded surgical suites, we've more than doubled our surgical capacity. And with our open floor plan, the surgical flow and the way we're able to move animals through and just expedite our services has grown exponentially.
Okay. I can't wait to see it myself, and I want to be there for the event, the mega adoption event, 24 hours at Tropical Park. And as soon as we have an exact date, we will share that with our listeners. But congratulations. And, we need to have a housewarming.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we wish you the best. Again, the website is animals.miamidade.gov. The phone number, 311.
That's correct.
Kathy Labrada, Chief of Operations and Enforcement at Miami-Dade Animal Services. So happy for you with the new Pet Adoption and Protection Center. I wish you the best, and we're going to send everybody there and get all those babies forever homes.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to EASY's Community Focus, looking at the issues that matter in South Florida and the organizations and people that are making a difference. If you have comments or would like to suggest a topic, just email me at ellen@easy93.com. I'm Ellen Jaffe. Thanks for listening.